Welcome to the Council of Trent podcast, a production of Catholic Answers.
Well, it seems like all the cool kids are leaving California, so we figured why not join them. Welcome to the Council of Trent podcast. I'm your host, Catholic Answers apologist and speaker, Trent Horn, and I'm currently recording this episode from my living room here in my house, which, if all goes according to plan, won't be our house much longer. Things really worked out providentially. First, it's really nice to be back on the podcast and have new episodes airing for you. I wanted to take some time off, paternity leave, spend some time with my family, take a break from episodes, but there's so many things I want to talk about. I'm like, oh, I really like to record an episode. And Laura thought it'd probably be good to record an episode right now, even though I'm on paternity leave, because this leave just took a completely different turn. Now, we had been considering leaving California for a while. We've left before. I'll get into that backstory here in a little bit. And so we had been considering that, but now we've really kicked things into high gear. So by the time this episode airs, it's possible that our house will already have been sold, and we'll be planning our move to leave California. Before I reveal where we're going to, I want to give a little bit of a background. So I actually grew up in California. I was born in San Diego. I lived in Encinitas, this little sleepy seaside town. I lived there until I was 10 years old. My parents had a house on the hill. You could see the ocean. I mean, it was paradise. It was this little sleepy little town. My mom worked for the phone company, and it was funny. They wanted to keep it just a nice kind of secluded place. I remember when the city was planning to open a bus station in the town, my parents led a protest against it, and they kept this newspaper clipping, and in front of our house, which overlooked where the bus station was, they draped a big sign out in front saying, "Stop the bus station." Well, it didn't work as they opened the bus station, and then eventually the coaster train station. My mom was really cool, though. She took me on the very first train out of Encinitas when it debuted. Oh, gosh, it must have been over 20, 25 years ago, nearly 30 years ago, because I was a little kid when she took me on that. So it was a quiet town. But when I was about 10 years old, they closed the AT&T office there. So my mom had to chase her job. We ended up going up north to outside Sacramento a little bit, then ended up in Phoenix, Arizona, where I went to high school, went to college. I remember when I first left San Diego when I was a kid, when I was, 10, 11 years old. I mean, I was bummed. I used to walk down to the beach. Everything was set, and I was mad. Of course, I didn't really blame God because I didn't have a relationship with God. So God realized it was more important for me to come to know Him. And in my move, I ended up in Arizona. I met my Catholic friends. I became Catholic. You can listen to all that in my testimonial, Following the Evidence, available at shop.catholic.com. And then from there, I got my master's degree in theology, did pro-life work, and then got the attention of the good folks at Catholic Answers, who offered me a position. And so it kind of felt at first like a sense of poetic justice. I told my mom and dad, guess what? I get to go back to San Diego, because they had worked so hard their whole lives to try to get back to San Diego. Let's get back to our house. Let's get back to San Diego. Get back to California. But it never ended up happening. My parents still live in Phoenix. My brother and sister live in Phoenix, Arizona. I love Phoenix, though it's gotten even hotter than I remember it. But when I started working at Catholic Answers in 2012, I was engaged to Laura at the time, and we thought we were just going to work in the Respect Life office in the Diocese of Phoenix. Then I get the call. Carl Keating wants to offer me a position. Tim Staples calls me. And so I go, and we move out there, and we live in this tiny, we got this tiny little apartment. Now, most newlyweds, you start off in the tiny little apartment, right? But for us, we started, now I remember when I lived in Kansas doing my pro-life work, I had a decent size apartment, and it only cost me $350 a month. When I lived in California, this is back in 2012, we had a very small, it was a small two-bedroom, but each of the bedrooms was absolutely tiny. It was like a shoebox. There was no air conditioning. There was one wall unit for AC in the living room. So when it got absolutely hot, and this was in El Cajon, which is the hottest part of San Diego and also has not the best reputation when it comes to things like crime. I remember actually, we at night, so we didn't have cable TV. And my wife and I, we would turn off all the lights, and I'd say, I'm going to watch TV. We'd turn off all the lights, and I would peek my eyes open through the blinds to see what our neighbors are doing. And usually on the weekends, the cops would show up, something would happen. One of our neighbors said, I don't know why they got made a big deal about it. She was on my property when I stabbed her. I remember then, like a week later, we found out we were pregnant with Matthew. And that's when I realized, it's probably time to move out of this area of town. Now, that rent we paid, I think we paid something like $1,300 a month for this tiny little apartment that was sweltering, that was amongst crime and drugs. But, you know, you're trying to climb your way up. Eventually, we found a nicer place to live. But with the cost of living, we felt like we'll never have a home. We'll always just be in a tiny little condo. And our kids will just be running up and down this tri-level condo with, like, a little postage stamp backyard. We just didn't see how we could make it. So I spoke with Catholic Answers, and they agreed to let me work remotely in Phoenix. And it was actually nice because my parents were there. We were able to get help, you know, raising our kids. We had Matthew. Then eventually we had Thomas. And I thought Phoenix is where we were permanently going to be. Though I will say I was kind of depressed. I missed everybody at Catholic Answers. I would travel back every few months, but it just wasn't the same thing as having that office dynamic. And I really missed California too. But I thought, you know, well, we just can't really make it in California. But then after Thomas was born, we were able to readjust our finances. I wrote Why We're Catholic, which did pretty well. So that actually, the sale of Why We're Catholic, of the many copies of that book that were put out there, allowed us to be able to save up to purchase make a down payment on a home here in San Diego. It was still a tiny home. And I love this home, sitting in it right now, recording this episode. Little 1,200 square foot house, four bedrooms. How do you fit four bedrooms in a 1,200 square foot house? You're very efficient about it. But it was only 10 minutes away from the Catholic Answers office. And so we returned, and it seemed like everything was going well. We always wondered what will happen if we outgrow this house. But we know holy families who have raised 5-6 kids in a little tiny house. That didn't concern us. Things seemed to be going well. But then we started to reconsider, maybe we shouldn't be in California anymore. And you know when we decided to reconsider that? It was the pandemic. It was the COVID-19 pandemic that gave us a reality check. Now, before I continue with the reasons to why we're leaving California, I want to give the big reveal of where we are going from California, where we're emigrating to, if you will. So, we're going to Texas. We're going to the Lone Star State. We're going to Texas. And in particular, we're going to the Dallas-Fort Worth area. I think that we're going to probably settle in Fort Worth. We're looking at homes right now. Actually, by the time you listen to this episode, we may have already purchased a home. Real estate in California is moving really fast right now. Even though there are a lot of other people who are making the exodus out of California, the housing prices have gone up tremendously. And there's really no inventory. When I drive around my neighborhood, nothing is for sale. Nothing is for rent. People are clamoring for homes. And that's why Laura and I thought, well, that's another reason that there's going to be a bubble possibly soon. And it may burst. Even if there isn't a bubble, I'm happy getting out while the getting's good. And we've looked at the Dallas-Fort Worth area, and in particular, Fort Worth. It's really attractive to us for a variety of reasons. First, Laura's family is only about 3 hours away, and some of her family members may end up moving. They're in Oklahoma City, and others may join them there, so we would be closer to family. For myself, as a public speaker, I know speaking is going to resume eventually, and I usually travel once every 2 to 3 weeks. Being able to fly out of DFW or the major Southwest hub, Dallas Love Field, would be an amazing change from flying out of San Diego. Like, trying to get from San Diego to the East Coast for a talk is always rough. It takes 6 hours to get to the other side of the country. You leave at 6 in the morning, you get there at 5 o'clock in the evening. The weather is actually pretty decent. Like, I'm not a big fan of the cold. I lived in Kansas for 2 years, and I don't want to return to Midwest winters. I'm not a fan of the winters that you get in the Northeast. I just don't like the cold. I mean, I grew up in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm used to the heat, but I didn't want to go back to the heat in Phoenix. I mean, this year, I think they had something like 60 days of over 110 degree weather. It was not something that I was interested in. But Dallas, actually, I think the average high throughout the year is 77 degrees. The average low is 52. I mean, there's cold snaps during the winter, but it's not oppressive cold. It gets warm in the summer. I actually visited with Laura over the summer because we were discerning moving at that time, though it was still somewhat speculative. So we went in August. We thought, all right, let's see how hot it is. And we went there and we thought, you know, we grew up in Phoenix, or we spent several years. I grew up in Phoenix. She spent a few years there. But it was hot, it was a bit more humid, but it wasn't oppressive. It was something that we felt like we could manage. But then as we drove around the city, and Dallas has some nice locations there, we were more excited by the Fort Worth area in Tarrant County. Fort Worth is actually where Homeschool Connections is based out of. I'm actually teaching courses for Homeschool Connections right now. There are wonderful Catholic parishes there. You have the university. So if you go back to Dallas, so you have the University of Dallas in Irving. You have a Byzantine Catholic Church. When I was looking at other cities for us to go to, I was very, very hesitant. I mean, if it was good for our, if it was best for our family, I would go no matter what. But I really wanted to pick a city where we could continue to worship in the Byzantine Catholic Church, and they have a wonderful one, St. Basil's in Irving, in outside of Dallas. So all the elements were coming together, but the biggest element was this: Catholic Answers is interested in opening a remote office location in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. So it's still kind of in the speculative planning stages. They're putting the feelers out there. But Catholic Answers realizes that, you know, a lot of people are working remotely, and a lot of apostolates I know have their workers scattered all throughout the country. And they know the cost of living in San Diego, it's astronomical. That's one of the reasons that we're leaving. So it's very hard. We need to grow apologists. I would love to have a dozen apologists working at Catholic Answers. But I don't know how we could attract people to work for Catholic Answers when California has such a high cost of living. So since Catholic Answers was interested and still is interested in pursuing opening a secondary office in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, where some current employees of Catholic Answers may eventually migrate out to, there was hope that I wouldn't just be the Lone Ranger. I wouldn't just be out by myself. I did miss my coworkers. So there is hope that I'll be able to work in kind of a miniature satellite office with my other coworkers. And so that's really exciting for me. But I didn't want to wait until that was solidified because, you know, I'm reading the tea leaves, reading the signs of the times, seeing it's time to get out of California. And frankly, I'm just done. We are done. The Horn family is done with California. I love California. It's a beautiful place, but it's not beautiful enough to put up with the absolute craziness and difficulties and burdens that come with living in this state. Now, if you read Ben Shapiro's reasons for why he's leaving California, a lot of them are similar to mine. Now, he lives up in Los Angeles. The number one city in California I would never live in is San Francisco. You could not pay me any amount of money to live in San Francisco. In fact, the only sane place in California that's sane and is actually quite enjoyable is San Diego. But eventually, the plague of California is going to get down here, and it started coming down here. But San Francisco is it's just the worst. They have a poop map. You can download a poop map on your phone to see where homeless people and vagrants have pooped on your sidewalk or left dirty syringes and needles to be able to navigate that minefield to get back to your 800-square-foot apartment that costs $4,000 a month. No thanks. Honestly, Los Angeles is getting that way too. It's become unlivable. San Diego is still nice, but it's encroaching down here. And we've seen the difficulty. So the biggest thing was COVID-19. I did a podcast a few weeks ago on COVID-19 unreasonable restrictions. And we actually made the news. Like John Stossel did a report on unreasonable COVID restrictions. And one of them was in Encinitas, California, where I grew up, where they took pride in giving people tickets because they were sitting in their cars watching the sunset. They're sitting in their cars, not hurting anybody, and people got a ticket. That when the COVID-19 lockdown started, everything was shut down here. They shut down the parks. They shut down the trails. They shut down the beaches. But people wouldn't have it for the beaches. You can take away a lot of things from people in California, but if you take away the beaches, they don't have a reason to live anymore. At least they don't have a reason to put up with the state's high cost of living. So they closed the beaches, but eventually got them back to be open again. Although when you visited the beach, you couldn't sit on the beach. You had to just keep moving. There were all these rules that had no scientific backing to them, made no sense, but you have to follow them because we said so. Like masks, for example. We're excited in Texas that kids under the age of 10, children under the age of 10, do not have to wear face masks. And that makes sense. I've done the research, and children have a very low probability of spreading COVID-19. COVID-19 is not a serious disease for children, so it doesn't make sense to require them to wear masks. And Texas and a lot of other states don't do that. But in California, kids over the age of 2 have to wear masks. Like, try getting a face mask on a toddler. Some toddlers will do it, many others will not. And there's a lot of places where you've got quote unquote volunteers who will give you a lot of grief if your kid isn't wearing a mask. But especially there's other things that are anti-child here, like the playgrounds. So they started the reopening of California. Eventually they start reopening. And by the way, if you compare our state to other states like Georgia or Florida, our cases rise at the same level of these other states, yet we have draconian lockdown measures. I mean, everything was closed here. You couldn't get a haircut. My wife can't go to get her nails done. She rarely ever goes out and does that, but the one time she feels like doing it, it's closed. You can't go and eat inside of a restaurant. So many businesses I've driven by here in San Diego are out of business or they're shuttered because the government has kept them locked down for months for absolutely no good reason. But the one that really killed me were playgrounds. I understand at the beginning when we didn't really know a lot about COVID-19, but at least a few months into this, you could see, okay, you can reopen playgrounds safely. And in other parts of the country, we went to Oklahoma, our kids could play on a playground. It wasn't a big deal. I visited Idaho recently and I told them the playgrounds are closed. I have to sneak my kids into the playgrounds. And people gasped at that. Not at me, sneaking my kids in there. They were cheering that. But the fact that they were closed. And there was absolutely no plan to reopen them. Like, California had this list of reopening guidelines, and then eventually we got this color-coded tier system, purple, red, orange, and yellow, based on your percent positivity rate and the number of new cases per 100,000. Though now there's a new metric added called the health equity metric. So if there are parts of your county that are quote-unquote underprivileged, like the poorer parts, that have higher than normal COVID-19 cases, your county can't reopen. Not because it's a threat to people's health, because they wouldn't do that if there were higher than normal cases in the rich part of town. It's because they're worried about equity. They're worried about racism and equity and being social justice warriors instead of just fighting a pandemic. And to actually the metric they use to see what parts of town, it's not just income. Like, if an area has too many bars or not enough trees, it's considered a economically disadvantaged area. And if it has a slightly higher normal rate, not even that it's disastrous and the hospitals are overwhelmed, but if they suspect there is a health inequity, they'll shut you down right away. And so the playgrounds were shut down for 6 months. My kids were playing on top of a fountain at Balboa Park. They finally reopened Balboa Park like a few months ago. They were running on top of a fountain, and one of the park workers says, "Oh, your kids can't be playing on the fountain." And I just said to him, "You know what? The playgrounds have been closed for 6 months. They don't have anywhere to play. You don't like it? Call the police." And he just nodded his head and he went away because he realized the whole thing is absolutely ridiculous. And then finally, one of the assemblywomen in the California government appealed to the governor saying, "We need a plan to reopen playgrounds." And she said, "I think the state just forgot to reopen playgrounds." And then finally they reopen the playgrounds, but they have these new rules when your kids go there. They have to stay 6 feet away from other children. They have to wear face masks while they're playing. The play equipment has to be wiped down, and they can't play for longer than 30 minutes. The people who write these laws, like, do you even have children? Have you ever seen a child? It's like when Governor Newsom said that we would reopen retail. Like, our retail had been shut down for a long time. And he said, "Okay, our numbers have gotten down low enough. We're going to reopen retail." And he reopened it only for curbside pickup. Hello, Governor Newsom. If I'm not going to be able to go inside the store, I'm not going to drive down there to get my thing on the curb. I'll just order it from Amazon. You've got people that pass laws here that have absolutely no idea what they're doing. And I'll give you another prime example of that. Disneyland. I love taking my kids to Disneyland, and I wouldn't take them if it wasn't safe, and I would understand closing it down if it was a big disease vector. But guess what? While Disney World has been open for months, and there haven't been any outbreaks traced to that, everything's fine in Florida, but in California, they still refuse to open Disneyland. Now, that's annoying for me. It's devastating to the tens of thousands of people in Anaheim and Orange County that either work at Disney or rely on Disney being open. Think about all the hotels. Think about all the restaurants, all of the public service and accommodations that people need in Anaheim that only exist because Disneyland is there. they are ruined. They're absolutely ruined. People say, well, they can go on unemployment. Guess what? It's still wrong if the state forces you to become dependent on it for no good reason. I wrote an article about this at Catholic.com, and I'll leave a link to it in the show description, called On the Right to Work. But even still, California has paused sending out unemployment benefits because the system is totally backlogged. They say, well, we need a few weeks to catch up. Yeah, well, people can't just take off eating or paying rent for a few weeks. But so to reopen Disneyland, they had these original guidelines saying, okay, well, Walt Disney World's been open, it's fine. But in California, they think they know better than everybody else. And so they said, well, Disneyland can reopen. These are the leaked guidelines. It's rumored these were the guidelines. If there was if it's in yellow tier, our least restrictive tier. So in California, the plan that we have, there's no green tier. The best we'll ever hope to get to is that businesses can be open to 50% capacity if there is less than one new COVID case per 100,000 people, less than one. You can only achieve that in like Modoc County. Go look up where Modoc County is. It's in the top right corner of California. There's like 8 people who live there. So you can only get those numbers in these rural counties. The big metropolitan areas will never open up. I mean, when you have counties with 3 million people in them, counties like Orange County or San Diego County, the false positives alone are going to send you above yellow tier back up into the orange tier. And so it's just unworkable. It's crushing people. It's not even working to bring our cases down. We're not some paragon of success compared to other states. But yeah, the rules is just ridiculous. I'm glad they don't enforce them super hardcore, but I just hate this paternal attitude here. Like, here's the new rule. You can finally now have gatherings at your home with other families not related to you, but everyone has to be in the backyard. Everyone has to wear a mask, have to be 6 feet apart, and people can only go inside your home if they need to use the bathroom, but they have to go like one at a time. Look, I understand mandating wearing masks like in public areas, like at the grocery store, public transit, where you're interacting with people who could be vulnerable. But guess what? We are adults. Let us live our lives and let us take the risks we're willing to calculate. Because guess what? We now know with COVID, like, I am not interacting with vulnerable populations. The friends that I know are not doing that. So we should be allowed to get together and we'll take a risk that we'll get a disease that has like a 99.9% survival rate. But that's not how California works. The philosophy in California is not letting you live your life. It's about, we are California, we know what's best, and we're going to make sure that we take care of you. It's our job to take care of you, even if you disagree with us. So it's that paternal attitude in this state I absolutely can't stand, and so I'm going to leave, and I'm not going to a state that has a similar attitude. So that's why I'm excited. Of all the places I'm looking at, Texas has a good balance there. There are other places that are even more conservative than Texas, but I like a lot of the amenities and the big city feel, the Dallas-Fort Worth area. I think that it's a nice balance overall. But in Texas, they definitely don't have this paternal attitude that California has. In fact, I'm almost embarrassed that I'll be going there from California. Like, as soon as we get into the state, I'm going to first drive to the DMV to register my car so I can get rid of my California license plate. I don't want people like egging my car, for example, seeing that it's coming from California. I want to let them know, look, I'm coming from California, but I'm not bringing California values with me. I'm absolutely not doing that. I mean, you have these ridiculous policies here. Take the forest fires, for example. People will say, the Newsom will say, oh, well, it's climate change. Climate change may have something to do with it, but guess what? There were giant forest fires here in California. There were lots of forest fires in the 1850s. When settlers came to California, they would say in the summer that it was orange skies, smoky, because the fires were allowed to burn. Now, we had less fires as you went away from that with better forest management, but since the 1960s, you can't clear out the forest. You can't cut down trees. You can't clear out dead wood. And so that leaves a ton of tinder for these giant fires to start. So you've got the fires, you've also got the blackouts. Like, our electric grid can't support people. We don't have enough power in the electric grid, so what does California do? It's shutting down all of their nuclear plants and shutting down their natural gas plants so we can just go to wind and solar, because obviously the sun shines 24 hours a day and the wind always blows, right? But to make it better, during the blackouts that we were dealing with, the San Diego Gas and Electric Company, or San Diego Gouge and Extortion, SDG&E, San Diego Gas and Electric, or people here call it San Diego Gouge and Extort. I mean, we have some of the highest electric prices, 56 cents a kilowatt hour during peak hours. But then San Diego Gas and Electric sends an email saying, don't charge your electric vehicles during the electric emergency that we're dealing with. Well, that's unfortunate for people who need to drive to work, I guess. But since all those people were working remotely, it wasn't really a problem. But what do you do when Governor Newsom just signed an executive order saying that gas-powered vehicles cannot be sold in California, new gas-powered vehicles can't be sold here in 2035. So that's going to increase reliance on the electric grid by 25%, but we're also shutting down all the reliable forms of power for the grid. It just doesn't make any sense. Here's another policy that's unbelievable. The California government tried to force pregnancy resource centers to advertise for local abortion services, saying, oh, well, there's health inequities and they're deceptive. And of course, it's all a bunch of pro-abortion radicals in the government. And the Ninth Circuit Supreme Court, I think, upheld it. I can't remember. But thankfully, the Supreme Court in NIFLA versus Becerra overturned that law where California tried to make pregnancy resource centers, pro-life clinics, post ads for abortion facilities. Absolutely absurd. You're not going to find that in Texas or Oklahoma, but you'll find it definitely here in California. And that's just reason number 4,382, why it's time for us to go. Other reasons are cost of living. A dollar is only worth 87 cents in California. I already talked about the electric. We got a gas tax. Our gas prices are usually a dollar or sometimes $2 above what everybody else in the country pays. Food is more expensive. It's hundreds of dollars to register your vehicle every year. No, thank you. And then there were the social problems. Even if you deal with the cost of living, Laura and I sat down and we had a serious talk. Is this the kind of place we want to raise our children? Now, there are wholly good people here in California raising wonderful children. But even many people we know in the homeschool community, they said, that's it, we're done. And they're out of here. A lot of other people are going. And it's because the policies here, it's just run on good intentions, but they lead to all of these unintended and perverse consequences. For example, California, 49% of all the homeless. I read another statistic that said 25, but a recent one said 49%, nearly half of all the homeless people in the country live in California. And why is that? Because California, instead of mandating that homeless people, and most people are homeless because they have mental illness, a drug addiction, or a combination of the two, instead of mandating that people get treated, California allows them to set up indefinite numbers of tent cities. When California tries to build shelters, and they're allowed to be in their tent cities because the Supreme Court, I think it's the California courts, have said that the homeless have a right to camp on the street if there's no room in shelters, and California is just not building big enough shelters. Because they're focusing on building not large shelters to house people, but apartments for the homeless. And these apartments cost $700,000 to build each of these apartments. At some of these planning meetings, people have said that everybody has a right to a granite countertop. It's absolutely ridiculous. And there's also housing problems here. Housing is expensive here because there's onerous regulations, there's rent control, there are protesters that do NIMBY, not in my backyard. So the reason housing is expensive in San Francisco is you have the locals in San Francisco that don't want anything to change. They don't want high rises. They protest every single building project. I was watching a documentary about a guy who tried to build an apartment complex in San Francisco, and he was just hit with lawsuit and city regulation over and over. They forced him to take out an environmental impact study and spend thousands of dollars to show that a shadow the building was going to cast on a playground for something like 20 minutes wasn't going to negatively affect these kids for the rest of their lives. Oh, we're not worried about these kids stepping over poop and dirty needles on their way to school, but oh goodness, a shadow, woo! Unemployment is getting bad. Like people who say, we need these policies in California and the rest of the nation. We have the highest homeless rate, the highest income inequality, 25%. I think 25% of Californians live in poverty. This is not the ideal. And they keep passing laws to make things worse. We have friends who are freelance contractors. And so they do freelance editing for people. But California recently passed a law, AB 5, which says that you can't hire a freelancer for more than 35 projects a year. So if somebody does something weekly for you, you can't pay them as a freelancer. Instead, you have to hire them as a full-time employee. So what ended up happening? These companies would hire one full-time employee and then fire the 4 to 5 freelancers that they had been relying on. So a lot of people ended up without a job. And they said, but I liked my job. I liked freelancing. Why are you telling me I can't do this? I wanted to do this. And the California government was saying, well, those aren't good jobs anyway. You don't know what's best for you. We know what's best for you. And because they think they know what's best, they go after the kids. In Southern California, they're mandating sex ed curriculum, saying that students could not opt out of the sections on homosexuality or transgender identity. So they're pushing all this propaganda on kids. And that's why we homeschool. I wouldn't put my kids anywhere near a government school anywhere, but especially in California. But I know they're going to be coming after homeschooling soon. They've put up a lot of restrictions that make homeschooling more difficult, but they make it really easy for public schools. For example, in LA during the pandemic, while the students were distance learning, the LA Teachers Union, while schools were closed, LA teachers were still getting paid, and they weren't required to video chat with the students. It said they had to continue to teach by distance learning, but they could do video if they wanted, or they could do a variety of other ways, including email. So teachers could get paid, presumably the same salary they've been making, while they're not going to a classroom, they're not video chatting with students, they just email assignments to students. And the students, they're the ones who are going to suffer. They're the ones who are going to fall behind. And you put all of that together, Providence is working, seeing, hey, there's good stuff here in the Fort Worth area. I can maybe eventually work with my coworkers there. We'll be near family. It's just a better cost of living. It's just a better lifestyle to look forward to. That, it's really made us happy. And we're just so excited. And we're excited that Catholic Answers has allowed for this flexibility. So I'll keep you guys up to date as progress develops. We'll give you little inside scoops. During the move, I'm sure I'll post some bonus videos to our supporters at trendhornpodcast.com. Well, your guys' support, I'm really grateful for. You've made the podcast possible, have helped it to grow and reach so many more people. So to circle back what I was saying, I was speaking with the executive leaders at Catholic Answers saying, I know the ideal is to have people working in the office, but the past 6 months we've seen people can work remotely, and all of us at the office, a lot of people have been seeing, yeah, California is not what it's cracked up to be. And so I think that's why they are seriously exploring, at the very least, opening a remote location so people can transfer there and still continue to do good work for this apostolate. And I said to the executive leadership, I am grateful for everything you've been doing to put families first here at Catholic Answers. And I told them that ultimately I love working at Catholic Answers, but my family comes first. My vocation comes first. Who am I? My identity is Trent Horn. I am number one, Catholic. I am number one, a son of the Most High, a disciple of Jesus Christ. That is my number one identity. Number two, after that, I am a husband. I am a husband to Laura. That is the number after being Catholic, I am a husband. Then I am a father. And then after that, I am a Catholic apologist. That's how I serve people. But ultimately, you know, the fundamentals of my faith and my vocation has to come first. And so I spoke with the executive leadership and said, I love working at Catholic Answers. I want to work at Catholic Answers for my whole life, but my family has to come first. And just where we're at and what I'm seeing, California for us, California is not the place we want to raise a family. We think in Texas, we can really raise a family. And Catholic Answers sees that, which is why I think they're really open to a remote secondary office. So if that continues to grow and become more of a possibility, I'll fill you guys in on that development as well. So pray for us during this time. Our house is on the market, the move schedule, we might be moving in November, maybe make it out to Texas in December. If you'd like to leave a comment under this episode, let us know all the great places in Texas and the Dallas-Fort Worth area we've got to check out. Do let us know. You can do that by becoming a supporter at trendhornpodcast.com. I've already seen a lot of stuff in Texas that I like. You want to know one thing I love? Heart 8 barbecue. I mean, I love a lot of the authentic seafood and fish tacos you can get in San Diego, but man, when I have Heart 8 barbecue, I told Laura, I think I could be at home here. I mean, I can't have that every day. That's not going to be great for my health if I don't work at Catholic Answers for the next several decades. But as an occasional treat, I think it's really enjoyable. So that's it. So that's where we're at. Right now, we're in the process of moving, but we'll be in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. The Horn family will be out there probably in the next month or two. And Catholic Answers is looking to open a remote office there. As that develops, I will let you guys know as well. So thank you guys so much. Your prayer is always appreciated. I'll say a little prayer for you guys after I finish recording this. And I just hope you all have a very blessed day and a very blessed weekend.
If you liked today's episode, become a premium subscriber at our Patreon page and get access to member-only content. For more information, visit trendhornpodcast.com.